Triple J Breakfast with Ben and Liam.
What's that like, going from, you know, pub to winery that you're headlining with your mates' middle kids in a couple of years?
Oh, man. It's like getting participation in the school swimming carnival 1 year and then going to, like, state champs the next.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen.
Which doesn't happen.
Like, there's kids that are born with gills and big feet in the swimming carnival.
Yeah, I have this conversation with my wife. So, because of my genetics, I just can't float. Like, a lot of people just can't float because I think it might be, like, a Pacific Islander problem or, like, anybody with that, you know, people of colour, because, you know, our bone and muscle density is probably, like, too thick to float. And so every time I go to the beach or if I go to, like, a spa and there's, like, a salty pool, she's this woman who, like, can float in anything. And I'm, like, sinking down to the bottom. So at the swimming carnival, needless to say, I wouldn't have done very well. Mm. So
you were never a state champ.
They were never a state champ. So it sort of reinforces my insecurity about being quote unquote state champs now, music wise. You know, I didn't think that we'd be able to float. Now we're like gliding.
You're floating.
We're floating.
That being said, with the mammoth album that Go Farther and Lightness was, is there anything on the cutting room floor that might get released in 2018?
Nothing will get released. And I think that's like, it's a myth that these albums just kind of get like birthed and made and then that's how they are. Like, there's a whole enormous process. Like, this record took 2 years to write and to conceive. And then, you know, I think we recorded the bulk of it in the month. But like, for example, What Can I Do If The Fire Goes Out? Most of that, except for the drums, vocals, like, I recorded by myself in a room in Los Angeles like 2 years ago. It just kind of has to happen when it happens.
Daily from the Gong, you saw Gang of Youths play over the weekend and it blew you away, mate.
Yeah, I did get to see the Mountain Sounds and it was absolutely fantastic. The mosh pit, Dave comes out on stage and his voice just absolutely blows everyone out of the park.
I'm just looking at Dave's face now going,
that's one of the nicest things.
Well, thanks for your call, Daly.
That's so nice of you.
Is that a mindset you have to get in when you're like really throwing yourself about and you're dancing whilst you're singing?
I think I become the most myself when I'm on stage because it's a moment where I'm allowed to be entirely who and what I am, and that's okay. Like, it's not only welcome, but it's expected. And being the most myself is how I could probably articulate it the best. Because I like to think of myself as kind of an extroverted person. I love being around people. I like engaging with people and like being part of that moment. But I'm not available to everybody. Mm-hmm. So my time on stage is my time that I'm available to everybody. Mm-hmm. There's a part of me that I can give away freely without expectation of anything in return. It's like I'm able to be wheeled out on this like kind of float, like in a parade.
Yeah.
And I can just kind of be whatever it is that I need to be at that moment. And I think like, that kind of came from, I think, my experience going to hardcore punk shows and going to, like, you know, metal shows. And that kind of community is really synonymous with, you know, freedom of expression and being able to extol all the things inside you in front of an audience. And I just kind of took a lot of that approach. And some people need to stand and stare at their shoes. And while I don't find that engaging, like, sometimes that's how it is.
That's how they are. That's in their truest form. Yeah.
And a lot of people probably wouldn't find my sassing and dancing around to be particularly palatable. But, I mean, that's... I mean, that's just an expression of what I want out of me. You know,
For sure. And even that thing, you know, I hear a lot of people reference, you know, the chest pounding and the off mic screams, and that like builds that builds the atmosphere.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that do eat it up for sure.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I think it's one of those things that I don't try not to talk about too much. But going on stage is reliving a lot of trauma. Like, I kind of have to sing about stuff that deeply, deeply effed me up. And, you know, I'm probably a weakling for even admitting that, but I'm constantly reliving stuff that hurts. And sometimes the most cathartic thing that I can do in order to deal with that is to just yell and scream and pound my chest. And I think there's something ultimately tribal and ultimately very Samoan about it. You know, like, I take a lot of pride in the fact that there's something, you know, visceral and tribal and full of heart and emotive about Pacific Islander culture. And like, I think that kind of comes out in what I am on stage, because most of the time, like, most frontmen that I kind of know are like skinny white dudes about 5'11". You know, I'm 6'2" and I'm 100 kilos. Like, there's not a whole lot.
You just referenced me there.
Yeah. So I think there's something like freeing for me to be, you know, to be able to be all versions of whatever is myself.
I think
it's important because they're all kind of referencing the gamut of emotions I experience on a like a daily basis.
Yeah, and can I just say as well, you're not a weakling for feeling your emotions. That's more masculine. Totally.
I would agree. I apologize for saying that makes me weak.
No, absolutely.
We need to start talking about, you know, I think men need to start being like really okay with these expressions of emotion. I think we could solve a lot of problems, you know, if we're a little bit more honest.
Do you get time to listen to other people's music?
I don't listen to any music anymore. It's depressing. I get too jealous. I'm not even kidding. Like, everyone laughs, but I'm like, I'm just too insecure. And like, because I only really listen to classical music anyway, partially because of an anxiety. But I think, like, in terms of any new music that I like, it's kind of like Julian Baker. She's great.
That's so interesting that you say that, though, because, I mean, I don't consider myself a stand-up at all, but I know Liam does this as well. But personally, if I'm going to go to a stand-up gig, I don't like to watch other people do stand-up because it intimidates me.
Totally. It's totally intimidating. It's totally intimidating. Like, you can imagine how utterly intimidating it is playing festivals with, like, with the kind of people that you have to, you know. Like,
I remember
meeting, like, so Sophie Payton, who's Gordy. She's, like, just so good.
She opened for you at the Horton
show. Yeah, she did. And every time she did, I'd, like, cringe. My wife, she watched every single one. She's like, wow. Was so good. I'm like, I know. And getting supported by middle kids, which is really annoying. Because Hannah's like kind of remarkable. And I think Gang of You's kind of careened through the space of life feeling quite unremarkable at times. And so when you're faced, you know, with all these really like I mentioned Julian Baker, like she's a better lyricist than anybody I've ever met. You know, it can be really intimidating. And I think that part of that is entrenched in a competitive drive to be literally the best and better. So I think like concentrating too much on stuff that makes me feel like I can't achieve that can be really, really scary.
This is Triple J Breakfast with Ben and Liam.